Inside Crime is brought to you by A Block Media, a full-service consulting firm specializing in media solutions for the law enforcement community. Law enforcement professionals know A Block is a partner they can trust. I'm Angeline Hartman. As a journalist, I've worked with cops and victims of crime all over the country. My craft is storytelling. My passion is crime fighting. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Season 4 of Inside Crime. We're bringing you two unsolved cases. The crimes happened within days of each other, one in a big Georgia city, the other in a small Arkansas town. And now, 25 years later, two families are still searching for answers. I've worked closely with the mothers of both victims. They are strong women fighting every day for their daughters. Let's begin with the story of Morgan Nick.
June 9th, 1995 started out just like any other day. We got up, the kids played all day. We had grilled cheese sandwiches for dinner that night before we came to the ball game to spend time with our friends. And we literally didn't realize that within just a few minutes, our lives would be forever changed.
Every time I interview Morgan's mother, Colleen Nick, I fight back tears. As part of my job at the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, I help families tell their stories to remind people to keep searching. Morgan was 6 years old when she was abducted.
You know, Morgan was 6 years old when she was taken, and she had this laugh that came from just way down in her belly. She loved cats, she loved apples, and she thought that bubblegum was a food group. At 6 years old, Morgan's dream was to grow up to be a circus performer and a doctor. You know, she wanted to help people and make them laugh at the same time. She was just this bright, sunshiny, beautiful little girl.
Morgan is one of three children. Her brother Logan was 3 and a half at the time, and her little sister Taryn was just 22 months old.
So we actually lived in Ozark, Arkansas, which is about 30 miles away from the town of Alma. And we had been invited by our friends to come and watch their children play in a Little League baseball game. We came to the town of Alma that night and actually dropped Logan and Taryn, her brother and sister, dropped them off at Grandma's house so that Morgan and I could have a girls' night out at the field. Their dad worked second shift. He was at work, and we went with our friends to the field. The games were already running late, so by the time we got to the field, we kind of stayed in the parking area and watched the game finish. And the community of Alma is a really small community. At the time, it was a town of 3,500 people. It was a little tiny baseball field that sits one block away from the police department. You have to pass the police department to get to that ball field or to leave it. The field had a double fence all the way around it. There were no bathrooms. There were no concession stand. It was an old field used for the really young Little League teams. We had never been to it before. And so we were waiting for the game in front of ours to finish. And when it did, we moved into the bleachers on the first baseline and we watched our game. And the kids with the other family were running back and forth from where we were sitting into the parking area. And several times they asked Morgan to go and play with them, and each time she told them that she didn't want to go. And just before the game ended, they asked her if she wanted to go catch fireflies with them. And she asked if she could go. And I first told her that she couldn't because I thought it was late and dark. And our friend said, you know, kids play here all the time. And kids had been running back and forth all night.
Colleen says letting Morgan go play was against her better judgment, but she decided to say yes. Morgan gave her mom a hug and a kiss on the cheek and then ran off. While the adults enjoyed the game, little Morgan played just yards away with two friends, 10-year-old Ty and 8-year-old Jessica.
They were playing in a sand pile and running back and forth in front of the cars, and we could clearly see them. They'd played about 15 minutes and the game ended. And as the team came off the field, the team that we were watching, they came to the right-hand side of our bleachers. And so when we returned towards the kids, our backs were to the parking area. And for 3 or 4 minutes, you know, we were listening to the team. And when I turned back around to see where the kids were at, I only saw the other two children, did not see Morgan. And walked over to them and met them and asked them where she was. And they said that she was taking sand out of her shoes, sitting by my car, but I could see my car and I didn't see her.
At this point, Colleen says she thought Morgan must have decided to wait inside their car. But when Colleen checked, Morgan wasn't there either. I asked Colleen what was going through her mind at this point. Panic yet? Still calm?
No, I was worried at that point. I was worried because she was six and it was dark and I knew that she wouldn't really choose to stay by herself. But I'm thinking, you know, she was taking sand out of her shoes. They just kind of walked ahead of her. My heart was pounding just a little bit. But when I opened the door to the car and she wasn't there, that's when the real panic set in. Because I could just, it's a really small field and a really small parking area. And it was just easy to see that she wasn't right there anywhere. And you know, by now people are leaving and cars are leaving. And I remember standing in front of my car, thinking that if everyone would just stand still for just a minute, that I would be able to see her, that we were passing each other somehow. And it was just really clear that she wasn't there.
Morgan just wasn't there. It seemed as if she had simply vanished, but how and why? Her mom, Colleen, and hundreds of people were just yards away.
They had only been playing for about 15 minutes, you know, and the game ended. And the last time that I turned to look, they were running single file. The three of them were running single file in front of the cars. And Morgan was the last one in line. That's the last time that I saw them.
Within minutes, law enforcement arrived, and the search for Morgan quickly intensified. The children who were with Morgan later told police that a man was near the area where they had been playing, but no one saw what happened.
I did absolutely think that we would find her right away. You know, we had the police, and, you know, when you call the police, they know what to do. They show up, they know what to do, and they make things right. They fix it. That's what I thought would happen. They'll figure this out. We'll find Morgan. She'll come home. It'll be okay. And then, you know, Logan and Taryn were at my mom's house that night and basically just got shifted around between family and friends. We didn't even see our kids for the next 4 days because we were so consumed by the search that was going on. And part of that was the expectation that at any minute we were going to find her.
With still no sign of Morgan, her parents finally had to break the news to her younger brother and baby sister. Morgan was missing.
And we came to our friend's house where they were staying, and you know, we couldn't find the words to talk to our 22-month-old baby and our 3.5-year-old son and their dad. Their dad said, Morgan's lost. And our son just burst into tears. And he said, why did you lose my sister? You have to go and pick her up.
Why did you lose my sister, he said. It was a heartbreaking moment. And for Colleen, this is one of the hardest things to talk about, even now, after all of these years. For the next 6 weeks, there were two press conferences every day. Morgan's family moved in to the local fire station, vowing not to return home without her.
The search was intense, and there was a ton of media, and there were law enforcement from all over the state, and the FBI, and the U.S. Marshals, and Search and Rescue, and National Guard, and, you know, the Crawford County Sheriff's Department, the Alma Police Department, so many agencies working around the clock, running leads. And we would get leads and we thought, oh, this is it.
But those leads went nowhere. And the days stretched into weeks and then months. And still, no sign of Morgan.
So as we didn't find Morgan and time kept going by, the 1 year anniversary just came up on us. And, you know, our family decided that what we wanted to do was to release pink balloons. Pink is Morgan's favorite color. And for us, it was a visible sign of our hope for her and our continued fight for her. And it was a way for us to stand up and say, we haven't given up, we're still fighting, and this will be the year. We're not gonna let another year go by. And it always stuns me every time another year comes up and we are still doing this.
Morgan is still out there. Today, June 9th, 2020, marks 25 years since the day she was stolen from her family. 25 years of searching. 25 years of hope and pain.
And it gets harder. It just gets harder. Like, I think we healed as time went on from that initial panic that overtook our lives, but it gets harder every year. There's nothing that's easy about having your child be missing. You know, and I think too what happens for our community, because our community needed to heal, is that they don't think about it every day. You know, kids grow up, people go to college, lives change. But for our family, we're still stuck in that moment of not having Morgan here, of having an empty seat at our dinner table every night. And we don't forget that she's missing. You know, it's a place that we can't move past.
At the Alma Police Department, there's a room packed full of files dedicated solely to Morgan's case. After 25 years, police say it's still a very active investigation, and they still get tips from the public. At the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, a new tool that might help find her is being released today. A forensic artist created an image of what Morgan Nick might look like now, at age 31. And today, after 25 years, Colleen Nick says her fight to bring Morgan home is stronger than ever.
What happened to Morgan is not some mysterious event that can't be solved. Someone knows the answer to what happened to her. And I've thought about it so many times over the years, how difficult it might be to call the police and to give that piece of information, because it could bring harm to their family. It could bring bad things to their door. It could mean someone they love would be arrested. You know, I would really want to encourage whoever knows the truth to just find the courage to do that one right thing that's always bothered them, that they've always wanted to do, to be able to find the courage to make the phone call that would bring Morgan back home to our family. I mean, I don't know if there's a better way to say that, but somebody knows the truth. And I think it will probably be the hardest thing they've ever done is to tell the truth. But they literally make the difference to whether or not Morgan gets to come home.
Coming up on the next episode of Inside Crime.
If you were a kid and you were at the baseball field, you always went up to the top of the hill because it was, you couldn't see everything.
Oh, yeah. 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 And I remember seeing somebody sitting up on the hill, leaning on his truck.
The children who were with Morgan reveal what happened just before she vanished. After all these years, hear Ty and Jessica talk about that day. That's coming up on the next episode of Inside Crime. I'm your host, Angeline Hartman. For more information about Morgan's case and to see the new image from the National Center, go to my website, InsideCrime.com. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode of Inside Crime.